All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want to read verses 17 and 18. Paul writes to this congregation, to this church, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So what we have here is kind of a triplet here. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. I do think that the in everything give thanks does have a connection back to a corporate praying church. Pray, church at Thessalonica, pray without what? Pray without ceasing. Now we know when we read that as addressed to a church, we know that that doesn't mean that the church is to stay in a building praying 24/7, right? But it does mean that its individual members are to be caring about a prayerful attitude 24/7. So we're meditating on God's word, remember? Everybody remember? Okay, we're meditating on God's word because it's an expression of the delight of our heart. And when you're meditating on God's word, naturally, somewhere along the line, there's going to be communication to God in prayer about what you're thinking about. Right? And so that's prayer. And then out of that, because you're meditating on a verse, the Holy Spirit might bring to mind somebody that you can actually pray that verse for. And so this, it all kind of works all together, right, there as we walk there with the Lord. Well, in that praying without ceasing, no matter what we're praying for, whether it's in prayer or outside of prayer, in everything we are to give what?
Thanks.
We're to give thanks. Now, I went back today and I took a look at the Pauline epistles that we have done thus far: Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. And I looked at those and I pulled out, I didn't go and look just at Paul's prayers, but all the events of prayer that are in those books. And then I counted the number of instances where thanksgiving is mentioned. Out of all the instances in those books, I got almost half had thanksgiving associated with it. Now, that's pretty impressive because I took out, you know, the grace to you, the grace with you. I took those out. But that's pretty impressive, especially when some of the verses we looked at were instructional verses. Right? They just weren't Paul praying about something. But there was actually just about half of those had either thanksgiving associated with it or thanksgiving was the cause of the prayer. Now, I want to tell you, when I thought about that and I thought about my own prayer life, I felt immediately instructed. Right? Because most of the time we may start off with prayer, with thanksgiving, but then we get into our list. But Paul is interspersing his list of requests with what? With thanksgiving. And so he's praying here for the Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2. I skipped verse 1 that talked about the grace request, but in verse 2 he says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers." Okay, so he just starts right off with what? Thanksgiving. And that means, brethren, that as Paul was praying about or thinking about the Thessalonians, he just wasn't going into prayer haphazardly. He had thought about the Thessalonians. He had reviewed his historical past with the Thessalonians. He had reviewed what Epaphras had mentioned to him, right? Not Epaphras, but the Titus, excuse me, Timothy, that had come down from Thessalonica He had reviewed the information that Timothy had got from them. He thought about the people, their names, right? And he came up with this list of graces that he was thankful to God for. And that became the basis of his prayer. And I know for myself, this may not be true with you, and I hope it isn't, but I know with myself, if I'm praying about someone, normally I start off with a request, or I think about, you know, maybe there's something that needs to be changed in their life, or there's a problem in their life, and I think about the problem, and then I tell God about the problem, and then I request God to solve the problem. But Paul starts off with gratitude of what he's doing in that person's life. And so just about half, got approximately 47% of those prayers start out or have thanksgiving involved in. And that shouldn't surprise us. What does Paul say in Philippians chapter 4? Be anxious for nothing but in everything, prayer, supplications with
thanksgiving.
There you go. See, Paul's doing that. He's not just telling people to do it, he's doing it. And you can see it here in his writing. So in verse 2, you have, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And then in chapter 2 and verse 13, he mentions one of the things that he had remembered. He said, for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, for what it is really is the word of God, which also performs its work in you that believe. So he's thinking about their reception of the gospel, and he's thanking God for that. This is an evidence of God working in people's lives. How do you know God's working? Are they receiving the word as the word of God? Okay, that's an amazing thing. And I can tell you that most if I go and I preach in another church, most of the time, people are there. There's always a remnant or a group there. But a lot of times, people are sitting there wanting to hear you speak from the Bible. They consider it your opinion, and they're thinking to themselves, do I agree with his opinion? Okay, that is not a work of God's grace. But when someone opens their Bible, and they're listening to you, and they're seeing, is this what the Bible is saying? And if it is what the Bible is saying, and they accept it not as the word of men, but as it is the word of God, that's God's grace working in that person's life. And we ought to thank God for that, right? That's not a normal thing. That's a supernatural thing that is occurring. So in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10... Paul says, for what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. So he's giving thanks for the grace, but he's letting them know that they had actually prayed that they could get back to Thessalonica. Because they wanted to do what? Yeah, they want to see them and they want to complete what was lacking in their faith. In other words, they got ran out, right? They didn't get to finish teaching all the first things first that they wanted to teach them. So they wanted to get back and do that. That's their prayer. Chapter 3, verses 11 and following, he says, now may our God and Father himself and Jesus Christ our Lord direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. And so verses 11 through 13 is the actual request for their return and for their graces of abounding in love and their steadfastness in the faith would be there before God so that at the end of the day they may stand before him blameless in holiness. That's God's goal. Amen? That's what He wants for you. He doesn't want us to get to His throne with regrets. He wants us to get to His throne matured in holiness, so that when we stand before Him because of the work of Jesus Christ and His work in our life, that we can stand before Him blameless. Right? That's what the Holy Spirit is desiring for us. So, again, chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, we opened up ours with this. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In verse 23 is a prayer for sanctification. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that agrees with what he prayed for in chapter 3. Verse 25, these are simple four words, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brethren, pray for us. Now in 2 Thessalonians, he's going to give them what to pray for us. But here in this first letter, Paul is asking prayers, not just for him, but for the whole apostolic company. Timothy, Titus, that was there. And then in verse 28, you got the general benediction. So that's a lot of places for prayer in five chapters. Then we moved to 2 Thessalonians. And here we had 10 instances in 1 Thessalonians. We have 9 instances in 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians, we only have how many chapters?
Three.
And so in verse 2, you have the grace request. In verse 3, he says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. And he goes on, he's thought about what's going on good in their lives. Okay? And when I say good, I mean conforming to God. Okay? What's going on there? And he thanks God for that first, before he goes on into his prayer request. The actual prayer is in verse 11 and 12, when he says, to this end also we pray for you always, that our God would count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness in the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 3, he says, I'm thanking God for all this. And he has this catalog of things he's thanking God for, verses 3 down through verse 10. And then in verse 11, he returns to that prayer and says, here's the content of what we're praying for you. And of course, Paul is concerned that every church walks worthy of the calling that they by which they have been called. In chapter 2, toward the end of that chapter, verse 13, he says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. So, what's he thanking God for? What's our doctrinal word here? Their sanctification. He's thanking God for their election. Okay, that God chose them. Okay, Paul wasn't embarrassed by that word, like sometimes we are today. Verses 16 and 17, we have the actual prayer. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who have loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. And of course, what he's saying here is that God has comforted and strengthened you through the gospel. That's by His grace, and since He's the source of that, then let's go to Him and ask for more. Okay? To be able to do that. In chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, here we have the content of that apostolic request. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. So Paul's praying for deliverance, isn't he? And so that doesn't mean that you're unspiritual praying for deliverance. So we can certainly do that. In chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, we have the prayers that their heart would be directed. It's summarized in verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the endurance or steadfastness of Christ. Of course, the church needed that, didn't they? Okay. And so when the core of that congregation, those people, their hearts are turned toward showing the love of Christ and in the steadfastness, the enduring under persecution or affliction, that's God at work in that congregation. Right? You thank God for that. Because what does persecution normally do? It scatters. Remember when our Lord said, the shepherd will be smited and the sheep will what? That's the natural result of persecution. But when you stand and you're steadfast, this is the work of God that is going on. Look at verse 16. Paul prays again. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. And of course, they needed peace. Why? Not here, but yes, that would involve that. Because they had a disciplinary thing they had to do, right? Remember, there were people there, and they were sponging off of the church. And Paul says, now look, if you don't work, you don't what? You don't eat. And so there had to be some form of discipline that had to go on. And of course, anytime that happens, you can have disruption. Okay? And so Paul prays for that peace. And then in verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It kind of makes you wonder, how would Paul write you? What things would he be praying for? What would he be instructing? Well, you know what? It probably looked like the New Testament, wouldn't it? So let's go to our Lord in prayer.